morning, church.
My heart is really full.
Because when we've been talking about what as a church his people been doing, through Pastor Rochelle sharing what's been happening with the money and prayers and support that we are giving as church into his mission, as well as little young lady Jen shared and poured out her heart. It's just wonderful. This morning, I'm going to talk about his mission, especially in the light of the experience that we had, Rich and myself, one of the fields that he is busy working and building his church, and bring it to today here, Perth in Australia. Yes, certainly God is God of mission. And in his heart, the very core of his heart is the nations. That's why we are all sitting here. Look at each other. We're riding on the waves of God. We're catching the waves of God. What would be your desired way of engaging in God's mission look like for us today, for his people? A few years ago, the image of surfer in the ocean, actually waiting to catch and ride on a wave, was impressed upon my heart. Patiently yet attentively, one has to lie low and paddling on the water till the right wave comes to pass. When one spots and senses the movement of the wave on this way, on its way, it requires an intense focus with swift and synchronized actions of a wide wave rider to launch oneself onto the wave and then simply enjoy the ride, the thrill. Paddling and wading in the ocean may be physically demanding, not always exciting perhaps, yet the thrill of creating catching a wave and charging on it rules out most of the time, rather in demanding hard work beforehand. For wave riders, patience, sensitized readiness, courage are required. Having served overseas for the last 15 years or so, what keeps you going? Might be one of the frequently asked questions. Once you have tasted the thrill of being carried by his wave, no matter what obstacles or demands you might have faced before or even anticipated afterwards, you find yourself out there for the next one, and then the next one, again and again. It has indeed been a privilege for us. You get hooked, if you like. And for us, it's been a wonderful privilege, really, to be first-hand eyewitnesses of the body of Christ amongst the first-generation believers in Central Asia. And thank you, all of you. And you need to know that we are part of this together as a team. And in the Bible, we have many examples of people of God who have caught the waves of God and ridden on them. And first one that I want to share or introduce, perhaps would remind you of this morning, is Joshua. The people of Israel, led by Joshua, after Moses died, won the Battle of Jericho, and Joshua simply followed the instructions of God according to his timing. Remember that? In chapter 6, Joshua chapter 6, so Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, "Take up the ark of the covenant of the Lord and have seven priests carry trumpets in front of it." And he ordered the army, "Advance, march around the city with an armed guard going ahead of the ark of the Lord." But Joshua had commanded the army, "Do not give a cry of war, Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout. On the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city seven times in the same manner. So they've been doing that seven days up to that point, 6 days. And seventh day, this happened. Except that on that day, they circled the city seven times. The seventh time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, shout, for the Lord has given the city. When the trumpet sounded, the army shouted at the sound of the trumpet. When the men gave a loud shout, the walls collapsed. So everyone charged straight in, and they took the city. It wasn't quite the usual way to engage in a battle, was it? Joshua cut the wave of God through obedience, patience, and humility. Not our own agenda, but His. Not our timing, but His timing. Laying down our own agendas in humility and obedience, it also takes perseverance. Thinking of Joshua's Jericho's battle, what are the out-of-box waves, at least in the eyes of the world, do we see today here or elsewhere in the mission fields? Doing things in God's ways, not our own, but God's agenda. Following God's instruction for you and me today, for His church and in this generation. A story comes to my mind from Central Asia. In one of the countries in Central Asia with more harsh spiritual environment and stricter religious law against believers in churches, police will come and search you and your bags and look at your mobile phones if you are standing more than two or three people together. In this kind of environment, how can church thrive? Yet, He's doing His work. One of the leaders from this country told us, oh, it doesn't matter. It is harder. It seems it gets harder every year. Yet, what we do to do our Bible study, we will get together at one person's place and get all our mobile phones and turn it off, and we hop on a minivan and drive around for an hour and a half, and we do our Bible study then. Hard place indeed. Yet, what they are doing is innovative, creative, precious people of God with humility and perseverance. So much things we can learn from them, from our brothers and sisters in different places. What about us? How willing are we to engage and hear His instructions, which might be a bit odd, old-fashioned, or not the way that the world will be doing now? What are the out-of-box, not quite the way it has been done before, or things in mission and in church involvement? Giving, sending, praying, reaching out. We will have to look differently today. All nations are here. Giving up our career, taking your young family to the mission field, leaving your well-established security, the home comforts, whether physically going overseas or getting involved here in Perth, in Australia, at home. Getting involved in mission at home, giving your own resources financially, time, and your heart, and starting or reviving mission, prayer meetings, and conventions, whatever. It will help the church to be the very church that God designed to be, the agent of His mission. We are. The second person from the Bible that I want to share with you is found in the book of Esther, the Queen Esther, who was nurtured and mentored by her own uncle Mordecai, took the courage of catching the wave of her life destiny in order to save her own people from being wiped out. In chapter 4, Esther, it says, "Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, 'Do not imagine that you in the king's palace can escape any more than all the Jews. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish.'" Yes. "And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such time as this." For such time as this. And you know what happened to Esther after that? He asked Mordecai to get all the people to fast with her. And she said, "When this is all done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. If I perish, I'll perish." That's the courage. And that's the realization of her destiny. Esther caught the wave of God through her courage to embrace her own destiny for such a time as this, and humbly laying it down before him. "And if I perish, I perish. I will step out in faith." Amen. What about us? Thinking of Esther, what are the "for such a time as this" sense of purpose and destiny happenings or awakenings we are finding ourselves in today, individually and collectively as his people, as his church? Back in Central Asia, we encountered this. "This is not the right time. What are you talking about? You shouldn't teach local churches cross-cultural mission. They are not ready. They are too young. They don't even have one well-established Bible college or seminary yet in the country. You shouldn't do this." This was one of the expert workers who got gathered together with others in partnership of setting up a cross-cultural training program for the churches there. It really bothered me. I got really angry. How dare do you judge your God's church that is too young and it's not ready? If God is God of mission and his church is the primary agent of his work, shouldn't his church be from its start, at the beginning? The mission should be its DNA. But praise God. Equipping his body for the mission of God is at the heart of our life passion. And Bupudi, if you can read in Russian, it is on route or along the way. And it's an online cross-cultural mission training. It's been a major encouragement for us, actually, to see this increasing numbers of Central Asian homegrown cross-cultural workers being sent out to other nations. And in order to assist this and empower Central Asian churches, the interagency group has worked together to set up an online cross-cultural training course for Bhuti. So for such a time as this. And this little photo, I love to see this one. This is Dr. Nadia. Actually, Pastor Rochelle and Dave met her when they visited us just before Dr. Natasha left the country. She was the first Central Asian student, actually, who completed this online course in 2012. Now on our course mentors, she's now on a course mentors team. And she's serving actively through encouraging and challenging other fellow Central Asian students. She's a physician, And when we first met her, she had a strong sense of call upon her life for a cross-cultural mission, especially to serve in a neighboring country. It took many months in preparation to work with the local, her local church to send her out, because there's no mission agencies in Central Asia yet. And it is first time the church is sending their own missionary to somewhere else. What is my and your for such a time as this moment of destiny today in serving our God, who is God of mission? What about for his body? Church in Australia, church in Korea, church in Papua New Guinea, and church in Philippines in this generation? Well, what waves of God that are for such a time as this, timing opportunities, do we see rolling into our base? Look at our neighbors, migrants, international students, refugees. Come on. Hard places are still hard to reach and send people and work there. But what God is doing is people from hard places are coming to our nations, to Australia, Muslims. And it's well known now among the workers. There hasn't been time like this that so many Muslims are coming to the Lord. I think this is answered prayer. Many intercession and many seeds sown over the decades and years through dreams and visions and signs. They're coming to the Lord. It's exciting.
Yeah.
But coming to the Lord is one thing. They becoming the disciples of Jesus is another. Because it's an ongoing journey. We all know that, and we are all in the same journey to grow. So what are we doing? People are moving from everywhere to everywhere. Muslims are turning to Christ. What is our moment for such a time as this? The third person that I want to bring, which is the last person. There are many examples, but a boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Do you remember that little boy? There was a huge crowd who followed Jesus to meet and to hear and see him in action. This boy was there amongst the crowd. In John 6, it says, another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many? You know what happened that day? There are so many people. This little boy came with a little lunchbox he had. A wee boy lined up. He was out there to meet Jesus and hear his message and see him healing the sick. That day he caught the wave of Jesus in feeding the 5,000, only men counted, rode on that wave by simply sharing his lunchbox with the wave maker. Boy, that wee boy caught a big wave. Yes, the boy gave what he had. One of the things that we do in Central Asia is called TEE. What is TEE? Tools to Equip and Empower. It is formerly known as Theological Education Budget Extension. It's quite simple method or way to do it, to disciple people from grassroots. 3 important elements are personal study, followed by group discussion time, led by a facilitator, and practical application for the lesson. This process goes circle every week. Yes, hearts and hands. Every believer, a disciple, and every disciple, a worker for Jesus was the motto of First Uyghur Believers Group in 1990s, and we today echo this wholeheartedly. This is a shared vision of TEE ministry in Central Asia. Since 1990s, we had little group of people starting the TE movements in different nations now, with volunteers mostly, people are being discipled and being active in the church. Across Central Asia, now it is reported about 1,300 students and 200 learning groups in 90 different churches. And they are all through volunteering leaders. Praise God. Because they are so passionate about what God is doing and seeing people being equipped and empowered. Just little things we have given to the Lord. Amazing results that is being followed. Lining up where he's at work, just like a little boy, giving our life and resources. How are we positioning ourselves? Are we maneuvering to catch the waves of God, to become partners of God in his work? Just like the wee boy with his humble lunchbox, with great expectations to meet Jesus and see him in action. Where are we taking our packed lunch today? Our humble resources of time, finance, gifts, hearts, talents, and our lives. With whom are we sharing it? To where are we investing our life? Surfers thrive on riding the energy of the ocean, waves of pure energy that have traveled miles upon miles to reach them. Their description of what it feels like to ride on a wave is like this. Someone says, it's like a bird riding on the wind. You can feel nature's energy in the waves as you catch it. You cut through the water, glide effortlessly. Someone says, one with nature, it feels like, experiencing a magical feeling of flying. There is no greater feeling than surfing, the feeling of being part of the ocean. That sounds really lovely, isn't it? So, what waves of God are we catching today? What about us? Jen reminded us, Matthew 28, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit and teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. When Jesus told this to his disciples, he didn't tell only full-time pastors, only missionaries, only volunteers at church. Go and make disciples. Did he say that? He was talking to all of us, his disciples. My dear brothers and sisters, let me remind us this morning, mission is not an option. It is call to his church, each one of us who follows Jesus. It is his command. It is our calling. So, are we tapping into the very heartbeat of God today in this generation? Yes, here and now. Seeing and feeling the very power of God, touching the very heart of the Creator by catching his waves and riding on and charging on it. God, who is God of mission, who is God of all nations, who is God of all mankind, and who is God of a whole universe. Indeed, bring sheer joy and thrill to his people with praise and thanksgiving that will never end. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your obedience, And thank you for your example to us. And you have called us as your church to follow you. And you have invited us to make disciples of all nations. And because of that, we are here individually as collectively your people, Lord. We thank you for those people who went ahead of our time to obey that and carried out that calling, Lord, and embraced it. That's why we are here. And now you call us today, Lord, here in Perth in Australia and elsewhere, wherever you placed us, Lord, to be that very history maker with you, Lord, because you want us to be part of that mission and you called us to be your partners. Help us, Lord, to catch your waves today here, that we may ride on that wave you want us to catch, to see your people come to you, Lord, and worship all nations. Jesus, stir up our hearts so that we may tap into the very heartbeat of yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.